Let's read again in Romans chapter 5. Philip was looking at that earlier. When God made man, he gave him a free will. And he said, I'm going to give you a choice to eat of all the trees of the garden, and especially the tree of life. Not one tree I don't want you to eat of. Man had a free will to do that. He used his will in the wrong way. So instead of God being his God and Lord and Master, then Satan became his Lord and Master. And we're all born under that same Master. You wonder why you do the things you do. You're under the influence of one of the two great spiritual forces in the world, in the universe, God and Satan. God is ruling the lives of people, or Satan is ruling their lives. Everything we do, we say we do it by our own free will. We do. But who exercises our free will to do it? So we're going to look in Romans chapter 5, and you're going to find six kings in this chapter. Philip already brought out the fact that the word reign in Romans chapter 5 and verse 21 is to reign as a king. Now there are six kings in this chapter, and there's three on one side, on God's side, and there's three on Satan's side. Now we want to look at them. The first one, of course, is in verse 21, that entered in the Garden of Eden. That as sin hath reigned, that sin reigning in the life of ruling, having dominion over Adam. Once he sinned, then sin had dominion over Adam, and he was not a free agent. He had a free will, but his will was bound. He had the bondage of his will was bound toward the evil one, Satan, instead of God. And everything he did was governed by what Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about, being the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Adam became a child of disobedience. In him he had a spirit, and that spirit was governed by the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the god of this world, which is devil. And everything he did was governed pretty well. He was under that king, in other words, called sin. It ruled in the lives of Adam. And, of course, it rules in the lives of mankind. We're born under that master. And according to Psalm 58 in verse 3, we go astray as soon as we be born. That master is working in the lives of even a little child. And we soon find out that he works more and more as that child grows and develops. And the world in general today is under that master. That's why there's so much sin, so much trouble, so much crime, so much wickedness in the world, because sin is ruling in the lives of people. That should never be so in the life of a Christian. But it is in Adam. All those in Adam. So sin reigns. Now the end of the king of sin, if I could use that term, the next king is in verse 14 of Romans chapter number 5. The next one is death. In verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So the results of the reign of sin in the life of a person is death, physical death, and of course eternal death, if they never are redeemed. So sin came in as a king. It captured Adam. Satan is the master behind sin. He's the originator of sin, and he's the ruler. So he ruled in Adam's life, and eventually Adam, another king captured him, and death was the result. And death is the wages of sin. and death rules and reigns over the human race apart from those that are saved in the rapture, everybody will experience death. When the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, never take every verse in the Bible literal until you look at the context. That is true in a general sense, but it's not true in a particular sense, because there'll be many people that will never experience physical death. I hope, I'm 85 years old, I hope I never experience physical death. I want to go to the uppertaker, not the undertaker. I want to go in the rapture, where you don't die in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. So you never take a verse to be absolutely final until you look at the context of the rest of the Bible. But death, sin came in to Adam's life, and death ruled in Adam. God said, told him before he sinned, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why will you die? Because you've disobeyed me, and you've sinned against me, and the wages of sin is death, and you're going to die. And that's true of every child of Adam's race. Then there was another law, another king entered in verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So we might call the law, what shall we call him, a king or maybe a general? But he come in, and the law has dominion over people. The law, when it says that the Christian is not under law, don't kid yourself. It doesn't mean we can break everything, all the Ten Commandments and get away with it. It means we're not under the dominion of the law. We're not under the curse of the law. We're not under the condemnation of the law. The law says every time you break one point of the law, you're guilty of death. Because under the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, had they been executed, every time somebody broke a commandment, they were to die. And oftentimes, they did die. They were caught breaking the Sabbath one day, picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Under the law, that person was to be stoned to death. A man that cursed his father and his mother and reviled and rebelled against his father, and they were to be stoned to death. The witch was to be put to death. And the law, the dominion of the law, means the law is going to execute the judgment of sin, which is death. It's as simple as that. Now, the devil rules in that area. That's his dominion. That's where we're all at before we're saved. That's where the world's at, but they don't know it. In Adam, all die. Literally, in Adam, all are dying. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 22. In Christ, all are being made alive. We haven't entered into the fullness of that life. No more than an unsaved person has entered into the fullness of death. But they're going in that direction. That's where they're going, because they're influenced, they're governed by one of the spiritual powers in the universe, and that is Satan, the prince and the god of this world. So those three dominions are associated with Adam. Now you've got three opposite ones to that. Notice when it comes to the dominion of sin in verse number 21, that you've got another king on the opposite side, in verse 17, called the reign of righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. Righteousness should reign in the other kingdom, under the other king. Death, a sin reigned in Adam. Righteousness should reign in those in Christ. That's what you've got in Romans chapter 5. You've got a contrast between Adam, the first man, and Christ, the last Adam. The first man in verse 18 was the one that by his offense judgment came upon all to condemnation. In verse 19, by that disobedience many were made sinners. On the other side you've got the other man, Christ, where righteousness came by a free gift of justification, and so on. So under Adam, then get this, sin works death and law works that. Keep your finger right there, but look at a verse comes to mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. It's not only the resurrection chapter of the Bible, but it's the translation chapter of the Bible where some who are in Christ never die. So it goes on to teach the resurrection of the body of those who have already sleeping in Christ or dead in Christ. And it goes on to verse 50 to say that we are alive in flesh and blood. We can't enter heaven that way, but we don't have to die and be resurrected to get there. We're going to be translated in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, in verse 51 and verse 52. We're going to be changed. We're not going to be die and be raised again. We're just going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Now I want you to notice down in verse 55, when that change takes place, what happens? Oh death, where is thy sting? That's one of the kings of Romans chapter 5. Verse 5, verse 56, the sting of death is sin. That's the other king. That's the second king of Romans chapter 5. Sin and death. Then it says, the strength of sin is the law. That's the third one. And verse 55 says to the Christian, but thanks be unto God, we've got the victory over those three kings through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've gained the victory over those three kings. We're not under the sentence of death anymore. We're not under the dominion of sin anymore. We're not under the dominion of death and law anymore. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory over those three kings. Do you know that if you're saved, you're not in that realm? Sin, death, and law has no claim on you. They have no rule in your lives. We should know who's running our lives. We think we're running in them ourselves. We really aren't. We think we are. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Sounds like we're doing on that. But behind the we is an evil spirit within us called the spirit of disobedience. And it's governed by the prince of the power of this air. And that's why we like sheep go astray. It's true. We do it by an act of our will. We sin by an act of our will, but behind us, there's that governing force of either God or Satan. So, in Romans chapter 5 again, we got the three kings in Adam. Sin, death, and law. Law is what puts the bite, if I could use that, to sin and death. The Lord Jesus, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death, death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. It's as simple as that. That's on the one side. That's in Adam. Now in Christ, opposite to that, the king of sin has been changed into the reign of righteousness, the rule of righteousness. When God rules in our lives, we are not under the dominion of sin anymore. We're under the dominion of righteousness. And we should, Romans 6 makes it clear, we should yield our members, our bodily and our functions and our habits, we should yield them to God as instruments of righteousness, not sin. So, that's, now, notice the opposite to death. The second king in Adam is death, in verse 14. And in verse number 21, that's changed in verse 17, that's changed into life. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. So, where sin was reigning in our lives that brought death, now righteousness is reigning in our lives that brings life. And eternal life there, unto eternal life. When you see something unto eternal life in the Bible, it means the other end of eternal life. We haven't got it all yet. There's an inheritance an eternal life that we haven't got yet. We've got eternal life as a gift, but as an inheritance, we haven't entered into that yet. That's in the future. We possess it now as a gift, but not as an inheritance. Timothy was told, lay hold of eternal life. Doesn't mean he didn't have it. It means you flee these things and follow after righteousness and faith and so on. Flee those things that you're talking about and run away from those and lay hold of the inheritance of eternal life. How we live our lives after we're saved is how we're going to inherit it in eternity. Live it for ourselves after we're saved, we're going to lose out to what we could have in eternity, the inheritance, the rewards that we could have. So, on the one hand, sin, on the other hand, the King of Righteousness. On the one hand, death, on the other hand, life, in verse 21. Now, there's another third king opposite the law. And you got that in verse, you got that king in verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But notice this, but where sin entered, grace did much more abound. Grace is opposite the law. Righteousness is opposite to sin. Life is opposite to death. So you've got three kings in Adam, sin, death, and law. You've got three kings in Christ, righteousness, life, and grace. And that's great. Now you say, how do we get that? Well, Romans chapter 6 and 7 tells us that. I want to show you that. Chapter 6 and verse 9. You've got chapter 6 and chapter 6 and verse number 14. That sin that had dominion over us in life. Chapter 4, verse 14, 6 and 14 says this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the other king called law anymore. So the dominion of sin was broken for us by Christ. That's what it means in verse 2, that it says in verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? How can we be dead to sin? We're not dead to sinning. But legally, in the eyes of God, God sees us as not under the master called sin anymore. That sin was broken for us at the cross of Calvary. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory over sin and death and law. Because he's broken that dominion. Verse number 10 says, for in that he died not for sin, but unto sin. He broke the dominion that was holding us bound as slaves in some form or another to sin before we were saved. He broke that dominion on the cross. He was made sin, and he died unto sin. Not just for sin, but he died unto sin. Now, so the dominion of sin is broken, and righteousness can rule. Now, notice in verse 9 that it's the dominion of death. That's the other king. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Now, what does that mean? It means that death has no more dominion over him. Because he broke the dominion of death himself, he entered into the chambers of death, he arose again the third day, he broke the dominion of death, not for himself, but for me and for you. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory over death. There are three words in Romans chapter 6 about knowing. Verse 3, know ye not, literally we would say, are you not aware of this? You ought to know this already. That as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, let me paraphrase that. Don't you know that as many of you as were in Adam have been now transferred over into Christ? Don't you know that you're no longer under Adam and the rule of sin and death and law? You've been taken out of Adam and you've been transported, baptized, placed over into Christ. That's what it says. And how did that happen? Through death. Into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death. That's how we got out of Adam. That's how we got out from under sin, death, and law. How do we get out from under that? Because our Savior went into that for us. And God took us into that with him. So that's why he says, you ought to know this, that you've been transported out of Adam over into Christ. And you're not under those three kings anymore. Now the next word know is in verse 6. Knowing this, the word knowing there is a more intimate word. It actually is a word that's used throughout the scriptures of a man knowing his wife. A very intimate knowledge. He's saying, I want you to come to know this. This is something they didn't know. What he says in verse 3, he says, you ought to have known that. But in verse 6, I want you to come to know this. I want you to come to know this in a very intimate, personal way. That the old man you were in Adam, under the law and under sin and under death, that old man died with Christ on the cross. The word is crucified is in the tense that it means it happened once for all at the cross of Calvary. God will never do anything about the old man we were in Christ. In Adam, rather. He crucified that at the cross. So the dominion of sin, verse 14, 6 and 14, we're not under that. The dominion of death, in verse 9 says this, knowing that, now that word knowing says, you know perfectly, you know well that Christ was raised from the dead. They did know that. They weren't aware what they should have known, that they had been taken out of Adam and baptized into Christ and baptized into his death. And that's something a lot of Christians don't know yet. They don't believe that yet. They believe Christ died for their sins, but they don't believe Christ died for them. There's a difference. After all, what we'd done wasn't a real problem. It was what we were. Sinners. Lost. I don't believe in saying I'm a sinner saved by grace. I sin, but that I'm not a sinner. You can't be I asked an elder one time in a meeting, something come up in a meeting somewhere, and I mentioned publicly that I didn't think that was a good thing to use, saying a sinner saved by grace. And I asked an elder that, and I said, you think that over and tell me what you think. And he come back and he said, pretty hard to say you're a sinner and a saint at the same time. If you're one, you're not the other. They're opposites. Because I sin doesn't mean I'm a sinner, and my standing before God is not that as a sinner. It's as a saint. In Adam, I stand before God as a sinner. In Christ, I stand before God as a saint. And just because I do things wrong doesn't mean I'm a sinner. I'm sure many, many of you sisters can put a nut on a bolt. But that doesn't mean you're a mechanic. I'm quite sure you can drive a nail. That doesn't mean you're a carpenter. You might catch a little fish off the wharf, but you can't go out fishing and catch a lot of herring like some of these men do. Doesn't make you a fisherman, or it doesn't make you a carpenter because you can drive a nail. What we are in the sight of God, we are saints. Every New Testament epistle is addressed to Christians as saints, not as sinners. The Corinthians were terrible sinners in the sense that they sinned, but they were not classified in the Word of God as sinners under the Church of God to all the saints under the Church of God at Corinth. So, the dominion of sin was broken for us at Calvary. The dominion of death, he conquered death. There could have been no rapture at all if Christ had never raised from the dead. because death would have never been defeated. Death would have never been conquered. But because you know perfectly, in verse 9, he's telling the saints, you know perfectly that Christ arose again after 3 days in the grave, and you know that the dominion of death has been broken. That king that ruled over the whole human race has now been defeated. It's been broken. And the prince of this world has been judged. So he says, you know perfectly well. So the dominion of death, the dominion of sin. Now notice in chapter 7 in verse 1, he brings in the dominion of law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now the language here is that of marriage. But in the context, it's that of my old union with Adam. I was under the law in Adam. It had dominion over me. It condemned me. It cursed me. It damned me because I was under it. The law says thou shalt not do, and I did. So you were all under the condemnation of the law. But a dead man can't be under the condemnation of the law. They're criminals. They murder people. Then they commit suicide. There's no court in the land that could ever take that person into court, charge them with murder. They're dead. You can't charge a dead man with murder. So what he's saying here, the dominion of the law ruled over me as long as I was alive in Adam. But in Christ, I died with Christ. I'm a dead man to the law. And it no longer has a rule. Now that goes out. He goes on down in verse 4 to make that very clear. Notice what he says. Wherefore, this is his application. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, and bring forth fruit unto God. So, what God sees, he sees me and you after we're saved, not before, after we come to Christ for forgiveness. He says, I want you to know something more than that. I want you to know that your sins were not only dealt with at Calvary, but you, the old sinner, was dealt with there too. And that old sinner died with Christ on the cross. And you were raised up a new creature in Christ. And that the law has no more dominion over you. Sin is no longer your master. You know, sin in Romans chapter 6 is mentioned 17 times. Sins, things we do, is never mentioned once. The little word sin is a noun. Not something we do, it's a noun. And it's personified mostly in the first part of the book of Romans as a master. As a king, and that's exactly what Romans chapter 5 says, that sin reigned. Not sins reigned, but sin reigned. Sin characterizes the lives of those who are still in Adam. So the wonderful news is that those three kings that were under before we were saved were all dealt with by Christ on the cross. He died unto sin, broke the dominion for us. He died, death has no more dominion over him. It has no dominion over us. We might die physically, but we're not going to die eternally. It has no more. The law can never point its finger and curse a sinner and condemn a sinner. It has no authority over a saint now when we sin. So what little wonder Paul could say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He struggles in verse number 7. He struggles through that verse, sees our battle, the things he could do, he wanted to do, he couldn't. The things he didn't want to do, he did do. Isn't that the common struggle of a Christian? It shouldn't be. He says in verse 23, in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's talking literally about carrying a dead body around on his back. That was a common way of a Romans, cruelizing a criminal. They would strap the carcass of the man they killed on their back, and they'd carry that carcass around until they died themselves. What a miserable person that would be. The Romans would understand perfectly verse 24. We wonder what it is, but they would understand it was an illustration of a form of punishment that Rome inflicted on certain criminals, that they strapped the dead body of that person on their back. Paul is using it in a spiritual sense. He's saying, the old man, you're in Adam, don't carry that old man around on your back. That's only going to make him miserable. But he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knew what it was to have the victory. He wrote again, and I quote that again, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Over what? Over sin, over death, and over law in the previous verses. So let's by faith enter into the truth that we're no longer under the dominion of sin or death or law, but we're under the dominion of grace, of righteousness, and life and grace. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for what thou hast provided for us in Christ. Little wonder that the inspired writer could write that we are complete in him, and that he is our fullness. And we ever pray to help us to enter more fully into that fullness, and that we might know the experience of having the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus being our master and ruling and governing our lives. So we ask thy blessing upon us each in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.